This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. Going to connect with Washington football team insider John Keim here momentarily. We've been talking about the reports that Alex Smith had looked good. Now, when you're on the PUP list, you're not allowed to practice with the team. So I don't know what exactly he's doing, if he's off to the side and the coaches are working with him, if he's just in, you know, the weight room riding a bike. I'm not exactly sure what Alex Smith is doing, but reports are that he looks good. And John Keim does join us right now, insider for the Washington football team. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
So, mentioning that, you know, there were reports. I saw J.P. Finley, your pal, reported that that Alex had worked out for 4 days and reportedly looked good. We don't exactly know what that means. Like, what is Alex doing? Do you know?
I don't know all the exact things. What I know is that stuff that you're doing when you're recovering from an injury and you're trying to rehab. So you're going to do some agility work and just some movement stuff on the field. There's nothing with like a full team setting, obviously, at this point. So it's more about testing your movements, et cetera. So, you know, I had heard, I had heard too that he was looking better than I think they expected. Where it goes from here, I think there's still a little bit of a ways to go, but that he was looking better than expected for them.
Aren't you kind of surprised and shocked at the developments that he passed the original test by the doctors, that everyone's saying he's looking good? I don't know what this football test is, but I'm just surprised and just blown away that he's recovered the way he has.
Well, I think, you know, I think there's multiple parts to that. So if you go back, you know, months and months, yes, you'd have to be surprised that he got to this point. But when you start to hear, when you saw, you know, after the documentary and you see him showing some video of him rolling out and doing some things, some different kind of movements, say, I wonder if he'll even be able to get cleared. And you start thinking, and then his own doctors cleared him. That's the key. And these are the people who worked with him, one of whom was Robin West, who is Washington's head team physician. And so you see that, and like they're not clearing him because they felt pity for him and they wanted to make it a feel good story. They're clearing him because they felt he was ready for increased activity. So you see that, and then you see this, like, well, you know, these are guys now who are watching him who haven't been working with him. So right. The fact that he's going to look better to them is they're probably at the same point we were, you know, a little while ago, which is, you know, how can this guy do this, right? So now you get a chance to see him up close and see what others have been seeing and what he's been doing. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, I'm still surprised. Listen, I'm still surprised because that was such a gruesome injury, and there's 17 surgeries, and we saw the documentary, you saw the leg. Yeah. But I think when you follow the sequence of events, I'm not surprised that he passed it, given what his own doctors had done. Again, I think, you know, it's one thing to you know, like I said, I think what, you know, the phrase I hear is better than expected. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, there's still, you know, you still have to go out there and show in certain settings what you can do and go from there. But, you know, and then they're still not at that point yet. But I think this has been a very, very good development for him. And I do think, like, I mean, listen, he's a pioneer in this. Nobody's recovered from this. And the way, you know, and there's no blueprint for him to follow. He's the guy. That's where it's just, it's an awesome story for him. Wherever this goes from here, it's an awesome story.
Yeah. I mean, I would still bet he's not going to play, but, and then when Zampezi says he's fantastic, I mean, that's a very general term. It could mean a bunch of different things because he does
right.
go on, he does go on to say he's going to be a great example for the other guys. So that just tells me. He's a good teacher. It doesn't tell me he's going to be the number one guy.
Correct. And here, there, like, because now when you start looking at that, now you have to jump to, okay, is he the same guy that we last saw? Just because you can, you know, if you're looking better than expected or you're looking good for what people thought, that's different than, oh my gosh, he's back to the same level. We don't know that, right? Mm-hmm. So there's still steps along the way. And I think if nothing, listen, this isn't the same team that he's coming back to that he left. That was a veteran team that they thought could make the playoffs, that, you know, could maybe build on that. Let's say he stays healthy. They win 9 or 10 games. You can build on that. This is a young team with a young quarterback who had a really good offseason. This is different, right? But I think where his value – this Alex Smith has value even if he doesn't play. But part of that value, too, I think, is – keeping a guy like Dwayne Haskins sharp, and whether it's just by your presence saying, like, geez, if I don't handle my business over here, this guy's right here. You know, Alex Smith is a legitimate threat to bump anybody from the starting job, right? So I think that's, there's value in that. And I think when later last year, I think around December, I did a story wrote a story about how Alex Smith was mentoring Dwayne Haskins and the things that he was learning from him. And one of the things when I talked to Alex about that, he said that he felt he had more of an impact on Patrick Mahomes because Mahomes could watch him prepare, watch him take notes in meetings, listen to the questions he's asking. Now, he was in meetings with Dwayne in last year, but he's not preparing to play. So he felt like, you know, he can, you know, he was able to take it to a different level with Mahomes because he could show all that because he was preparing to play. So he felt Mahomes got even more out of that. And that's coming from the guy who would, you know, that Haskins thought gave him a lot just in the role he was in. So I think he has really good value on many levels. But, you know, this is a young team. You have a quarterback who's coming off a good offseason, a couple of good games at the end of the year. It makes sense to play him, but Alex Smith can help with his presence and with his preparation, et cetera.
Joined by John Kine from ESPN.com. Do you think when Ron Rivera took this job, do you think he had any inkling that Alex Smith would be part of the quarterback equation? Or do you think he just dismissed him outright after seeing the injury, didn't think he'd ever be able to get back even to this point that he's gotten to?
I don't think there was – I know he would mention him, but it was always like others here, it was always like, well, if anybody could do it, Alex can. And this is just, you know, because he didn't know Alex, but it was more from what you hear from others in the building. But I don't know that there was serious discussion about him being in any sort of quarterback competition. That's just my sense, you know. And I mean, why would there be? Again, we saw the injury. We know what he went through. We know the history of that. So, you know, so there's no reason to think that he's going to get back to a certain level and not just get back, but then enter into a quarterback competition. So I don't think that there was a lot of serious discussion about, like, you know, well, when we get Alex back, you know, I don't think that was going on.
All right. So what are you hearing on some of the younger guys, the Gandy Goldens, the Gibsons, you know, McLaurin, second year guy? Are you hearing good things about them? I know it's been early, but any feedback?
Yeah, I think it's too early to jump into that because they're not even doing full team stuff yet. So
right.
You know, all they're doing starting tomorrow is going to be some conditioning, walkthroughs, and weightlifting. So there's not a lot going on to say, oh, this guy looks great already.
Right, right.
I think we're a week and a half from starting that kind of talk. You know, I mean, it's a legitimate talk, because right now everybody's going to look kind of good, right? That's what you're going to hear. And unless you're out there to see it, it's hard to really go beyond that. So I'm not going to, you know, there's really not a
nothing
lot to
there,
mean
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, any I mean, any but, indication, you know. Any indication from the league or from the team of when they're going to allow the beat guys to actually see the team play?
I think for us, it's going to be around the 13th or the 14th to see them. That will be like a glorified OT. Well, not glorified. It'll be like an OTA session, you know, helmets and shorts. And then the padded practices will probably start around the 18th. That's probably when we'll be out there starting full time, is right around then. So that's when we'll start to get a really good feel for things. And I mean, the interesting point that you bring up, the offshoot of that, is that there are a lot of young guys, and their development is absolutely vital to where this team is going to go. And all those guys you mentioned are guys that are key. I mean, Gibson and Golden. I mean, I think with Gibson, the hard part is he played running back some in college. He was a receiver, obviously, too. But now they want to play running back, learn all these spots. It's really hard to do that in a truncated offseason. And so, like, where is he going to be at in his development with it, and how are they going to use him? And Gandy Golden now is an important guy without Harmon there, that you have no real, he's going to be the guy opposite Terry McLaurin. So he's got to develop where, you know, what kind of things does he do? How is he getting off the line? Those are the things that you really want to see. That's a big key for him. So we won't see that for a few more weeks.
Talking to John Keim, covers the Washington football team. A couple days ago, you wrote an interesting story about the Redskins' fifth round pick, which is Keith Ismael, center from Washington. Tell us about his cross-country journey.
Yeah, that was interesting, and I would enjoy being a part of that. He started driving across country. He started in mid-May and wanted to visit family and friends along the way. So he started in San Diego, went to visit his grandmother in California. Then he went to Phoenix to visit friends, to Albuquerque, then to Dallas, where he worked out for almost 2 months. And then he drove to Nashville, then Nashville to Ashburn. And it was just, you know, a lot of it was like why he wanted to do that. There was a sentimental reason, because he used to go on these long drives with his dad. And it was a connection that he had with his dad, who was still living, but it was like, you know, growing up, that was the time they really spent together when he was young. And so there was a connection there, but also part of it, too, is a reality of the situation. He hadn't signed his contract yet, so you don't have all this money, this extra money lying around. So to take the flight, to ship your car across country, to ship all your clothes, he felt was going to cost him a few thousand dollars. So by driving his Nissan Altima, he was able to save a lot. He only paid, like, for the whole trip, like $170 in gas. And, you know, so like, and then, you know, he wasn't staying in hotels, and he didn't have to ship his car and all that. So he was able to save on that too. But it's really kind of weird, because when he starts, it's mid-May, there's a pandemic, and that's has been a terrible thing. Along the way, then you can add protests, riots, and then the team he got drafted by changes its name. That's how long that trip took him.
So JK, I just wanted to get your take on, just as a fan and as someone who covers the league, certainly covers the team in general. We've seen a couple of NFL quarterbacks test positive. Okay, Stafford and Minshew. We've seen the coach for the Eagles, Peterson, he test positive. Now, we knew that was going to happen. It's impossible to have, 100% negative tests. And we saw what happened with the Marlins, and Manfred kind of freaked out, and he was all over the place. Are you feeling good? Are you feeling positive that, all right, we're just going to get through this? There's going to be positive tests once they get to camp. They're not in a bubble, so there's probably going to be more. But are you feeling kind of hesitant to say, yeah, we're going to start this season on time? Do you think there's going to be a shortened season?
I can't say I'm sitting here with a lot of optimism. And just because, like, you see what's going on in society, the way it spreads, and what you know is that, you know, all it takes is one or two guys to go out to a bar and bring it back into a locker room, you know, which is which will happen. I mean, these are young guys with money, right? And somebody's going to go out and do things. And it's, or, you know, it might not even be that. It could be somebody's spouse brings it into the home because they're working and they don't know it. And it's just going to be difficult. And so I've got fingers crossed for this. And, you know, I'm guessing they will start on time. And it's funny because it depends who you talk to, too. Like, you know, there's an overriding thought is, well, it's the NFL. They need this. And, you know, of course they do. But I think there's a point where you just say, at what cost? You know, that's the fear. And before anybody says that sports writers are trying to get it killed, like, we kind of depend on this sport for our livelihood. Nobody wants to see this ended. And because, you know, because you know what it means to the industry just from a selfish standpoint. But it's just hard to sit here right now with anything and say, I have all this optimism that it will go. I think they'll definitely try. And then it's like a week by week, cross your fingers and toes that it doesn't get worse. That's kind of where I would be at with it.
Yeah.
John, appreciate the time as always.
Hey, thanks, guys.
John Kime covers the Washington football team. Still weird for me to kick it to the Washington football team.
Yeah, it's going to take some time to get used to.
It was so much easier calling John Kime a Redskins insider.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Washington football team insider. Haven't really heard any rumors here the last couple of days about the team name, by the way. It's quieted down a little bit.
Well, I think they're just going to take their time with it. They know there's not a rush. They have a replacement name in place at this point, so why rush it? Take your time with it. Get it done the right way.
Got to take a break. Number's 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. Be right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I wanted to get...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into something which Jason touched on with John Kime. And look, when he asked John Kime the question, his guess is no different than ours, but you asked basically what his level of optimism was for the NFL. I want to set this up with the fact that the NFL, at least right now, has a deadline of Wednesday for players to opt out. That could change. I think there's still negotiations going on, but Wednesday is the opt-out day for the NFL, at least the deadline. The Redskins have had just one player, defensive lineman Caleb Brantley, who opted out. What it means is if you're a high-risk player, if you've been deemed high-risk and you opt out, you decide you don't want to play in 2020, they're going to give you a $350,000 stipend. If you're not deemed high-risk, you still get $150,000 for opting out. And there haven't been a ton of players who have opted out. I know the Patriots had 6 guys who've opted out.
I think it's up to 8.
Okay. They've been struck the most. Conspiracy theories think Belichick's behind it, whatever. So you have that going on. You also have the guys who are testing positive for COVID. So we mentioned Doug Peterson. He's the second NFL head coach to come down with COVID. You had Sean Payton weeks and weeks ago,
right,
New Orleans Saints head coach. And then you had 2 quarterbacks that we learned about this weekend, in Matthew Stafford from the Lions and Gardner Minshew from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Jay Gruden won't have Gardner Minshew available, at least right now, while he's on this COVID list. What's your level of optimism, Jason Bishop? Do you think we're going to have a season? And this is, we'll stick with the NFL. College football, I don't know what the hell is going on, man. The report about the Pac-12 and players kind of banding together and having demands in the Pac-12. I don't know how many players it is, but that's an interesting thing, interesting story to follow for sure.
Yeah, I mean, some of their demands are crazy, and there's no chance they're going to get them. Some of them are legitimate. You know, they want all the sports back, but you know, these players really don't have any idea of the money involved. So, you know, let's just say there was a list of 25 demands. I would say three or four of them might be doable, but the other ones won't be. What's my level of optimism on the NFL? I think they'll start. I just feel like there's something's going to happen. You know, like we've seen with the Marlins, like we've seen in baseball. If you're not going to keep these guys in a bubble, which is impossible to do with the NFL, I think you're going to see a breakout with a couple teams, and that's going to cancel games. And then, you know, I think that you're going to see a shortened season. That's just my opinion. I'm a pessimist when it comes to this. I still think baseball will be shut down at some point, although we got some positive news on Sunday when the Marlins reported no additional positive tests. So maybe the message was sent. But, you know, the NBA and the NHL are doing it the right way, but that's because they can do it the right way with the majority of their season already in the bag. So I don't know. I'm a pessimist. I would say it's not going to play a full 16-game schedule. That's just me.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, what do you make of the recent NFL news? Cakes, how do you read it?
I mean, I have a hard time thinking that these teams are going to get, you know, be face to face, you know, the offensive lineman and defensive lineman 6 inches away from each other and then piled on top of each other. That if one guy gets it, it's not going to get spread to a dozen and then to 50 guys. And then I just don't know how that gets contained, especially when you're not in that bubble type of atmosphere like the NHL and the NBA are. I think they're going to, you know, make their best attempt. They want the season to go on as planned. They don't want to punt however many billions there are in revenue to make, even if there aren't fans in the stands. But, yeah, I think it's going to be cut short. I don't know that the NFL will get to 16 games.
Yeah, I'm optimistic it starts. I think with the opt-out deadline, and they could move it, it's 6 weeks before week one would start. So teams have time to adjust. They can add players. They can make adjustments and have their roster ready to go. And I do think this news, you know, a lot of times, you know, as we talk to our kids about this, they can see a number on TV, over 150,000 people have died, whatever, until it really touches you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to relate. And I think with the NFL players, they're starting to see the news of coaches and other players coming down and contracting the virus. Look, they want to get paid. I think that's a big incentive. They want to make money, so they don't want to miss the season. So I think they're going to be a little more careful versus reckless. Like, I saw the fallout about the Marlins players, mm-hmm. because and it might have had to do with the Cardinals too. These are rumors. I'm not 100% confirmed, but they believe that the coronavirus that touched the Marlins players may have come from some guys going to a club, mm-hmm. and the ones that hit the Cardinals players may have come from going to a casino. Mm-hmm. So I think when you have more and more stories like that, my guess would be that the NFL players, if they want to have a season, they want to be responsible, are going to be more responsible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to look at it in a positive light, it's still a very small percentage, especially in the NFL. And now you're going to see more cases, right? But right now there's only been, I think, 44 positive cases. And how many players are there in the league in these camps? You know, it's a very small percentage. Baseball, too. So maybe you're right. Maybe they just needed to see this. They needed to see widespread breakout. And the Marlins said, all right, well, we had a week's worth of games canceled. All right, we got to be more diligent. But the NFL, you know, it's going to be harder because, like you said, Cakes, I mean, they're going to be tackling each other soon. Right? And they're not in the bubble. So I think it just kind of depends on the player and the situation. If they decide to be safe about it, just go to practice and then go back to their hotel room or their house and never go out, don't go to two grad parties and a surprise 50th on the same day.
Don't do that.
Then they should be fine. But you're going to see breakouts. You just are. It's impossible not to.
And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if the answer is expanded rosters. I just don't know how you prepare for that. I mean, isn't the talent so thin in so many spots already at the NFL? Are you going to expand your rosters out to, I don't know, carrying 75 players instead of your standard 53? I don't know what that answer is for NFL teams. Maybe it is just carrying extra players in case there is a breakout.
But like you said, fingers crossed, right? We've been saying that for months. Fingers crossed. And the NFL seems like the type of league, since there's so much money involved, especially on the TV side, that they're going to do everything in their power to get it started on time and to finish.
Yeah, usually say where there's a will, there's a way. I feel like the NFL is going to find a way. Now, the disadvantage the NFL has, as Cake said, is you got guys on top of each other breathing all over each other.
But it just takes one.
And I don't know what you can do there. Could you create some sort of football helmet that has a special mask?
No. I mean, you can have the shield, but it's not going to be enough. I mean, you're still going to sweat on people. You're still going to spit on guys. I still think that it just takes one really bad case in the NFL. If it's an overweight lineman who gets really sick, and hopefully that doesn't happen, but it just takes one. And if that happens, I could see them saying, all right, well, we got to shut down for a couple weeks or whatever. But or a coach. Or hell no, who knows, a referee. I have no idea. It just takes one really bad case, and then the whole league freaks out. And, you know, I just think it's going to happen. You might have an entire unit. We've been talking about this, right? An entire offensive line get sick. And what if the line behind or, you know, blocking for Mahomes gets sick? Are you going to play Mahomes with five backup linemen? I wouldn't.
So, I liked your idea the other day, Jason, of the NFL bubble. Create various bubbles. Drab just sent us a link to an article on NBC Sports Washington kind of going through that idea written by J.P. Finley where, you know, you could have a city or region that houses some teams. Like just in this region, you got FedEx Field, you have M&T Bank Stadium, you have Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium. You could even use other, you know, stadiums possibly like Audi Field, where Navy plays, Navy Marine
right.
Corps Memorial
I mean, it doesn't
Stadium.
Matter. You're not putting fans into any of these stadiums. So.
Right. And you
Hell,
create,
use a high school field.
Maybe you do like the NHL. The NHL is just basically that they've got two hub cities. But maybe you could do that in the NFL. The problem is they haven't thought outside the box. Like the NFL and Major League Baseball, to an extent, although Major League Baseball has tweaked rules and has a shortened season. But the NFL, they're just going like business as usual.
Right.
Opening day is opening day.
Well, they have to have a contingency plan that I would guess incorporates some of that on the table in case something goes haywire. Like, they should have a plan where you have maybe you have an Eastern pod, you have a Western pod, you have a Central pod, and instead of playing your divisional games, you know, you have the, you know, Redskins taking on the Washington football team taking on their geographical rivals instead of their division rivals. And, you know, it goes for all the other teams as well. That contingency plan has to be in place, I would think.
I don't
have to
have thought of that. I'm somewhat optimistic because, you know, as we talked about it earlier, this weekend you had all kinds of sports going on. So, you know, Jason's been watching golf all along. So you've got the PGA Tour every weekend. And is this is a major week, right?
Yeah, PGA Championship.
It's definitely a major week.
PGA Championship.
It's Tiger Week.
Tiger Week.
You've got baseball going on right now, and even though the Nationals didn't play for 4 days and there have been some cancellations and there have been some outbreaks, it's still going on. Look, some teams are going to have more games than other teams. Maybe that's how it's going to end up. Some teams have 60-game season. Some teams have a 55-game season. However it works out, but they are full steam ahead. Major League Baseball is being played. The NBA started. Whether or not you're really watching it, whether it feels like Summer League or not, they are playing games, and you've got hockey starting up today with the Caps playing at 4 o'clock. So I think the NFL is going to find a way. It just may be, you know, if you have that outbreak of the offensive line, you sign a bunch of new offensive linemen. Maybe they can tweak the rules where you can, you know, I think they're already talking about an expanded roster, but you really expand the roster.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think logistically it's probably too late to find those hub cities. That's something that takes weeks, if not months, to plan. I mean, the NBA and NHL planned that for months, and they got it right. So the NFL is not going to do that because, you know, it's just too late in the season for that. But I don't know. We'll see. The difference between the NFL and college football is it's a much more physical sport than baseball.
And it's also a much bigger roster.
Much bigger roster.
Whereas, you know, you can get a hotel and essentially create a bubble in a hotel, but you're not going to need as many rooms for a football team.
You need a whole hotel.
You need a massive amount of rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Tons of hotels.
I think you just kind of have to wait and see. You know, you just have to wait and see how it progresses, how many positives you get, when you get them, who it is, how serious they are.
Again, I think there are lots of hotel rooms open. I think there's lots of vacancies.
No, you're right. You're right.
I don't think that many people are traveling. I think the NFL has to have some sort of backup plan in case things don't go the way that they're hoping. And hope is not the best sort of business plan. As Jason said, you know, they're keeping their fingers crossed. Keep your fingers crossed is not a good business plan for an organization like the NFL.
Well, that's all you can do, though, because, I mean, that's what the GM of the Cardinals did when he found out he had one player and three staffers all test positive. He goes, all right, well, I think he used this exact quote. My fingers are crossed that we don't have any more. All right. And that's what they're doing. They're testing, and they're just hoping everything comes back negative, but you just don't know. Maybe you shouldn't test as much. I don't know.
Okay, Trump.
I'm just saying, you can't have positive tests if you don't test. I don't know. You asked me my opinion, and I think that it'll be a shortened season at best.
Well, if this was April, and they now knowing what they know about how MLB did it, 100% chance NFL would figure out a way to do a bubble. They wouldn't go forward with this.
Probably right. But I also think this, it's tougher to ask – you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to sit in a bubble for 6 months and not see their families. I don't think they'd go for it. You'd see a lot more stars opt out.
But you're seeing that in Major League Baseball to an extent, right? Cespedes has just opted out.
Okay, but Cespedes is not Tom Brady. I mean,
understood.
You're seeing
but
it
my
a
point
couple
is that
times.
The sport you would, survives.
There's no way you can get these superstars who have young kids to just sit in a hotel room for 6 months. Well, it wouldn't happen.
Well, would you still watch the NFL if Tom Brady opted out?
I would. I'm just saying the NFL doesn't want to see that.
Well, of course not, but it's their decision to do it. They can. Well,
sure. But I'm just telling you why they didn't do the bubble idea first. That's the reason.
I mean, yeah, it is a much longer season. We're not talking,
Yeah, I mean, you're talking
60 days.
Yeah, you're talking 6 months.
There's some people that said that there's a way they could have done it where you play like a month in the bubble, then you get a small break, go see your family, then you go back.
Yeah, who knows?
Then you got to quarantine for 14 days. Do you go home and then you come back and you quarantine?
I'm just saying there's ways that they could have figured out how to get families involved, which is the most important thing for a lot of these guys.
I don't know.
Can we talk about the real victims here, the fantasy football players and the gamblers, Jason, more specifically? I mean, this season, it's on a high wire right now. We're
teetering
on that high wire.
I'm going to give you a little endorsement.
Well, fantasy football drafts are still going forward.
I know.
I know that Cakes and Chad Dukes had Dave Richard on the show because I was driving back from flag football on Saturday morning.
We did.
Listen, I was like, hey, I know that voice. And it was old Dave Richard.
Yep, that was Johnny Cakes booking. Reached out to my man Dave Richard, who was trying to dodge the hurricane in South Florida or tropical storm, whatever it might be. Whatever it's been reduced to.
If Cakes doesn't draft Antonio Gibson in every draft, I'm going to be stunned.
I'm going to pick him.
I could just tell because not only from our show, but I think you asked Dave Richard about Antonio Gibson. You seem to have a little bit of an obsession.
I have a full-blown man crush on Antonio Gibson. For a guy I've never seen play outside of a highlights package on draft night, never seen him play once at Memphis.
Right.
I love that dude. I love him so much. Just like I like Thompson Creek Windows. In their 40 years in business, Thompson Creek Window Company has seen the problems homeowners have when a window dealer disappears or fails to support the products they've installed. They've got a better solution. Thompson Creek gives you a no-hassle warranty for up to 50 years on replacement windows and doors that they build and install direct from their local factory. Call 855-57-CREEK right now to buy three windows and get one free, the way the junks like it. Plus, no interest until February 2022. See ThompsonCreek.com for all your details.
Welcome back. Juckies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Don't want to do a huge coronavirus discussion. And Jason mentioned earlier in the show that he may have not really practiced social distancing this weekend as he went to a couple of parties.
Yeah.
But the scenes we're seeing from across the country, some of them are just outrageous. The one in Oshkosh, is that in Wisconsin?
It is Wisconsin. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, what the hell's going on over there?
I didn't see that.
You haven't seen the pictures?
No.
Oh, my God. They're, I mean, it's hundreds of people on top of each other, shirtless.
Oh, well, I see this boat party. Is this the one you're talking about? Yeah. Well, this was in Illinois. The white trash bash.
Oh, that's Illinois.
Yeah,
the I white saw one in Oshkosh.
What's going on with the Big Ten country? Why is everybody not listening to the what the authorities are telling you?
I mean, there's a reason the numbers just continue to go up and up. Dr. Deborah Birx was on, you know, some of these Sunday morning shows. She was I don't see her as often back when Trump originally was doing those pressers day after day, and I know he came back to doing them. I would watch some of them, and Deborah Birx and Fauci, they were always part of it. I don't know her exact title, but she said that the coronavirus is as widespread as it's ever been. In fact, extraordinarily widespread.
Yeah.
It's because I really do think people have just gotten fatigued, and they're not doing everything cautiously anymore.
Yeah. And it's also, like you said, unless you're touched by it personally, so if your mom or dad gets it and dies, your grandma, whatever, someone in your family dies, you know, these people don't think it can affect them. They don't think they're going to get it. And if they get it, they think they'll be fine, which for the most part is true. But, yeah, I mean, these big parties are – and we've seen that all over the country. It's not just this past weekend. It's been happening for weeks. You know, I'm kind of guilty. I talked about it at the top of the show. I was guilty. Two of my good friends had grad parties for their kids who are graduating and going to college. And they were supposed to have these parties in June, and they pushed them back to August. And they even said on the invitation, we understand if you don't want to come, but, you know, they're good friends. And I wanted to see them. So two of the parties were outdoors. One was inside. I didn't wear a mask because there was food there. I was eating. And I understand why people are pissed at me. It was my decision. Probably a bad decision, but I did it anyway.
Look at the picture from the Oshkosh bash. It's a sandbar bash that happened just a few days
ago. It's going to upset me when I look at it.
On July 30th.
It's going to make me very mad.
Cakes, just take a look at it. I put it in the Google Hangout. It's unbelievable, the sea of white donks on top of each other.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're all doomed. Why am I staying inside and wearing a mask when I go to the store when all these Chad bros are hanging out on a lakefront just spreading virus to everybody?
Yep.
Oh, this is so tilting.
Maybe they're all tested.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all. Yeah, maybe tested for syphilis. I don't think they were tested for the COVID. This is very disturbing.
And then you have the white trash boat event.
Yeah, it's the white trash bash in Illinois.
I mean, what are people thinking?
I think that's where all the Marlins were.
Did they think it's over? Is that the deal?
I don't know. They don't think it's over. They just,
it's not a big deal. They disrespect it.
They don't think they can get infected.
By the way, I'm looking at the Oshkosh picture.
But don't they realize?
Maybe
people have quit following the news, but there were more deaths from coronavirus in July than there were in June. That's not a good trend.
But I guarantee they probably weren't 25-year-old people.
That is true.
I'm looking at the picture from Wisconsin.
And then these people probably think, okay, we're outside. It's harder to get it outside.
It's mainly young. I'm going to say mostly like probably 20 to 25-year-olds. There are a few old donks in this picture. There's a dude like square in the middle of the picture. He's got big old man boobs. He's bald.
Is he? Was he in the 50s?
He's got wraparound sunglasses.
I didn't know Drab was at the Oshkosh.
There's another guy like at about 3 o'clock in the picture. Just looks 60. Everybody else is 20. Why are you there? What are you doing there? I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening anymore.
And by the way, there was a situation in Loudoun County where the parents have a kid who plays football for one of the schools, and they are supposed to fill out this questionnaire and sign it. And some of the questions on the questionnaire are like, have you been exposed? Anyone in your family test positive? Have you been exposed to it? And the mother put down no. Hello, her husband had it, and she knew it. She lied on the questionnaire because she wanted her kid to go work out and lift for 2 weeks.
Right.
So what happened? They found out that he was positive. She lied to the school board. She lied to the school. She lied to the coach. And they found out that the dad was positive, so they shut it down for 2 weeks. The whole football team shut down for 2 weeks. You get that situation, too. The parents are just like, F it. I'm sending my kid, you know?
I didn't even know they were having football. I know in Montgomery County, they've shut it all down, right?
Well, they're not practice. They're not actually on the field. They're just working out in the weight room.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, those I really think, how many months are we into this? This is about month.
We started in March.
Early March. Yeah. We're about
March,
six.
April, May, June. Yeah, I mean, I just think people have grown tired. Like, there was a period of time when I would walk and I would see most people wearing masks, even walking outside, and that's not the case anymore.
People are losing their minds, JP. I don't know if you saw the story over the weekend, but Brewbelly, which is a restaurant and beer house here in Olney, it's mm-hmm. been open for, I don't know, 2+ years now.
Uh-huh.
They've just, obviously reopened like patio dining service, like in the parking lot. They're not letting people into the establishment. I guess a dude walked in without a mask. Somebody said, you have to have a mask on if you walk inside. You're not even supposed to be inside. He spat in the face of one of the employees of the restaurant.
Wow.
I mean, that's 2 minutes from where I live. Yeah. People are losing their minds. They
Correct.
Don't know how to act in a civil manner anymore. In
pretty good town you live in.
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but it was all over the news.
Look, the country's not full of robots. They're going to do their own thing. Not always the right decisions, but they're going to make their own decisions. They're going to do their own thing. You can't keep everybody inside. We know that.
I understand. I'm looking at this sandbar bash, and it's clearly evident people are not staying inside.
Yeah, after looking at the sandbar bash, which is the one in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the little white trash bash doesn't look like anything. That's only like 100 donks. The Oshkosh, I mean, there's hundreds of people on top of each other.
There's a lot of guys that are shirtless that should not be shirtless. I mean, a lot of guys that should be more covered up than they actually are.
And by the way, when colleges go back, when Virginia Tech goes back on August 21st, 26,000 kids, what do you think is going to happen then? You think they're going to stay all in their dorms and wear masks and walk around with masks all over the dorms? Of course not. It's just going to be a breakout after breakout after breakout. Now, we can decide, okay, well, we're just going to have to deal with it. Or I mean, what's going to happen? You're going to send everyone home again? It's a complete disaster, Drabby.
I know, but that problem is everyone is an individual. Just like you're saying that's going to be a disaster, you made your own individual choice this weekend to go to a party.
I know.
So everyone looks at it in their own bubble and says, I'm going to do what's best for me or what I want to do. Or maybe you just say, there are some people who believe it's a hoax. There are some people who think, yeah, this is a serious thing, but I'm going to live my life, and if I get it, I get it, and I'll deal with it then.
Right.
Here's a bulletin. Stop having parties. Stop having get-togethers. Stop having big, giant beach bashes with 60-year-old guys with man boobs flopping all over the place, hanging out where they shouldn't be.
But it's not just parties. I mean, Cakes, it's every age group. It's and every race.
It's flag football practices on a Saturday.
Those are with masks.
Yeah, but look in your community. All the kids, high school kids, middle school kids, they're playing with each other every single day.
Every single day.
So you can't say you're worried about school, and then the kids are outside playing with each other and tackling each other all day long. I see it every day.
Yeah, they're going to go mad. I mean, the kids have to go out there and play with other kids. They got to socialize.
Yeah, I mean,
it just has to happen.
That's what it is.
The mental health, and you'll understand this, fellas, or Drabby and Matt, when you have kids and you're close. But when your kids are teenagers, you can't lock them down. You just can't.
Dude, I get it. I totally understand. We're so far into this, there's no going back now. Like, we're not going to go backwards and everyone says, all right, everyone back in their houses.
Right.
We're just going to do this until the vaccine comes out. And if you get it, then you made that choice.
You're going to have to deal with the repercussions. Yeah. Correct. By the way, where do we stand on the?
I think you can make some progress in like guilt people. Jason may be too far gone, but guilt him too. Maybe next time the party can be a little more socially distant. You encourage the mask use. I think you can make progress.
Well, if I wasn't so hungry, I might have worn the mask.
You're starving.
But there was chicken tacos there and chips and salsa. I just had to crush it.
Sounds delicious.
I mean, I was famished. It was 5 o'clock. I hadn't eaten all day.
All right, let's move to something a little more fun. Sports is basically back, right? You've got the Caps playing tonight. You've got the Wizards who've been playing in the NBA has been in action. But are you still into it as much as you used to be? It feels a little bit different with no fans in the stand, with virtual fans at NBA games. They feel almost like scrimmages. Sports is back, but are you as into it as you were before? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next. Here are the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.